Well, we thank the Lord for another opportunity to worship Him, to look in His Word, consider a few things. Desire the Lord to bless us here today. If I could have your attention for just a little while. I want to ask the question in this little message. Are you satisfied? That's my little burden today. Are you satisfied? You know, I watch people today and see how they're living life and how they're involved with so many different things and how restless that people really are. They seem to be satisfied with very little. It seems to be taking more and more of the things of this world to satisfy people. And we all know that have experienced Jesus Christ, we know that He's the only one that can truly satisfy each and every one of us. You see, man is a worshiper. And we need someone outside of ourselves that can meet the needs that we have. The Bible says that when God made man, He breathed in him the breath of life and man became a living soul. Every one of us have a part of God in us. A part of God that cries out to be in communion and relationship with the very one that gave it to us. So I'm thankful this morning. It's possible to be satisfied, but we live in a very unsatisfied world. People, it seems like it just takes more and more. And if I can just get this, if I can just have that, we're almost, us adults, almost like children. If I could just have this, or if I could just have that, then I'd be happy. But you know, things don't make us happy. It isn't things. Happiness isn't found. You know, I remember years ago, whenever I began working for General Motors, I thought, one day I'm going to have me a Cadillac. I've never had a Cadillac. Probably never will. Don't have that desire anymore. But it wouldn't have changed anything. It really wouldn't have made, it wouldn't have satisfied. And I want to be satisfied. It's like drink when you're thirsty. When you're thirsty, you can go drink all the pop you want. You can drink lemonade or anything else if you want to. The only thing that really satisfies a thirst is water. That's what I've found. It's the only thing that really satisfies a thirst to take the thirst away. So you gotta find the right thing that will satisfy. And people are looking at that today. They're looking all over the earth today for something that will satisfy, but they're not looking to the one that is able to satisfy their souls. So I'd like to look at a scripture. It's found in the book of Acts, the 17th chapter, the 22nd verse, very familiar text. It said, "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, 'Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious.'" Or Paul is saying here that in everything, you're very religious. It's obvious to me that you're very religious. You're obviously seeking after something. "For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription." You know, it is important that every one of us have our devotions. And it's also important that those devotions be guided by the Spirit of God upon our hearts. Be guided by the word that God has given you and I. He said, I beheld your devotions and I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. They were very religious people. And Paul was looking around and there was a lot of altars there. They worshiped a lot of different gods, just like people today. We don't look at it that way maybe, but the things that people seek after in the world today, they're really gods to them. They're hoping that they will satisfy. They're hoping that they will supply the needs. And obviously they had many altars there. And he said, as I passed by and saw and beheld your devotion, I found an altar. Among all the other altars, I found one that says, to the unknown God. This one that you ignorantly worship, I want to declare unto you. The God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. Hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. So, I want to introduce you to a God that you ignorantly worship. Obviously, you don't really know him because they called him the unknown God. Religion, they had plenty of that. You're very religious people. But religion for religion's sake doesn't meet the needs of the human soul. Religion is not what Jesus brought us. Jesus came to bring salvation, to bring deliverance, to bring about a change in my heart. And a change in my life. Not just religion that I can go around and tell everybody, yeah, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in this and I believe in that. But it's an experience that I have within me. That it's a relationship that I have between me and my Lord. I want to introduce you to him, Paul said. Religion for religion's sake, it doesn't meet the needs of the human soul. It takes more than just religion. There's a lot of religions in our world today. And yet among all of those religions, people are still restless. They're still looking. They don't know this unknown God that Paul was speaking of here. These folks, they had a void deep within them. Yet, do you ever feel that? Have you ever felt that in your life? Seemed like an emptiness and a void that was within us. And they were seeking to fill that void, but they didn't know where to look. They didn't know who to look to. Folks, there's only one. The Bible, Paul said in another place, he said, you are complete in him. In Jesus Christ are we made complete. These people had a void that wasn't met yet. There was an emptiness inside of them. Man was created to worship. I don't care who you are. Unless you're an atheist, unless you don't believe in a God, you're looking to worship someone. You're looking to worship something. Someone greater than you. Someone that you are hoping that will supply the needs that you have. Something that will help you as you walk through life. We're all looking for those things. And God supplies those needs, doesn't he? Jesus is the one. Because we found out that the search ends. As we're searching through this dark world, we find out that the searching ends when we find Christ. And then we become satisfied. Then I don't need any more. It's like that good cold drink of water when I'm really thirsty and I've found Christ. I'm not searching anymore. I'm not seeking anymore. You see, every one of us has a place in our hearts that's reserved. It's reserved. It's reserved for Jesus. It's reserved for God. Every one of us, no matter who we are, no matter what our understanding is, No matter what our religion is, no matter what we believe and what we know, folks, there is a place within every one of us, in our hearts, in our bosom, that is reserved for God. It's a place that I can't go, you can't go in my life, and I can't go in your life. There's a place that God has reserved for Him. And when that need, that place is met, that need is met, then it brings satisfaction. Not only to the soul, but it'll bring satisfaction into your life. When Jesus came into my life, I found out I didn't need all those things that I thought I needed. I don't need the things that the world has. They don't satisfy. They don't supply the need. Only Jesus supplies the needs that I have in my heart and in my life. You know, people remind me of a couple things. One of them's a little baby. You take a little baby, I'm talking about a little baby now, that when it cries, it don't know why it's crying. But that crying is telling us something, isn't it, parents? It's telling us one of two things, more than likely. Maybe one of three. Maybe telling us that it needs changed. It may be telling us that it's hungry. That's a need we all have. And it may be telling us it's really sleepy. It's really tired. And it don't realize that all they got to do is just go to sleep and problem is solved. People are like that in the world today. They're crying out. They're looking here. They're looking there. And don't realize if they just turn their lives over to Jesus, give themselves over to God, submit to His Word and His will in their life, the crying would stop. All that void, all that emptiness that they've been feeling, if they just give it to God. So baby doesn't understand. And that's the way I kind of view a lot of the world today. People don't seem to understand. Paul said this unknown God, this altar here, you're worshiping all these other gods. You got a lot of religion, but there's still a need there. There's still something that hasn't been fulfilled. And Paul was directing them to God, to the one true God, through His Son, Jesus Christ. A place in the soul that God wants to be a part of for each and every one of us. Think about in the animal kingdom, in the animal world. And you all know this as well as I do. If you ever been to the zoo, we probably have all been to the zoo a time or two in our lives. One of the animals that I like to see is the lion, the big cats. And I've seen lions in zoos in different places. And you know what? Unless they're sleeping, you know what they're doing? And I can still see them in my mind's eye. They're up, they're walking back and forth. Back and forth. I've seen them behind glass walls. I've seen them out in their little lairs and dens that they have made for them. But the cats are restless. And they're always moving back and forth. You know why? Because God didn't create those animals to be put in bondage like that. Those animals were created to be free and run the wild and be out there in their own habitat. And so now they're restless. You know, what am I going to do? All I can do, I'll walk over here for a while. Then I turn around and I'll walk over there for a while. You've seen them. Animals that are put in cages and that are trapped like that, they're restless because they're not in their natural habitat. Do you know it's the same way with you and I? Souls are reaching for something too. They're restless because they don't have the thing to satisfy them. They're restless, and so many don't know where to turn. They don't know what to do. And folks, Lord, help us to be able to have the wisdom and the understanding and the love and the compassion for souls that we are able to reach out and help them find the one that will satisfy the needs that they have. But I see people today going everywhere. We're living in a restless age. And how, one way we know that this is a restless age, folks, because they just keep creating more gadgets all the time. More gadgets. And if you don't mind, I'd like to use that spinner thing. It's supposed to kind of help settle you down, right? It's supposed to kind of take the edge off of things for you. Something to do. Something to do. Go in a restaurant. I've been observing this lately, and you have too. You go in a restaurant, people are sitting at the table. I was in one not long ago, a husband, the mother, and the child. And they were all three sitting there on their phones. All three of them sitting there on their phones. Why? I've been in situations with family in the same room, family gathered together, nobody talking, everybody on their phones. We've lost the ability to communicate today. We've lost the ability to communicate today. We're changing all of our spellings so that we can get it down to a little text message to someone. People texting each other in the same room. You see what the devil's doing with us, folks? People are restless today. Don't know what to do with themselves. Fidgety. Because they're not satisfied. That's the bottom line. They are not satisfied. You get that baby something to eat when it's crying, and it'll stop crying because it's satisfied. You give man a part of God and a relationship with God and the sweetness that it brings to the soul, folks, they'll be satisfied. They won't be looking here and there and everywhere else. People aren't satisfied today. We gotta have gadgets and we gotta have entertainment, don't we? It's gotten to the point that people go to church today to be entertained. People wanna be entertained. They want someone up here on the platform. They want to make this a stage. They want someone to play the music. They want someone maybe to be a little funny. They want entertainment. Folks, our soul is too serious to be entertained. Our soul is going to eternity. And we are all going to stand in the presence of God, and entertainment is not going to help us through that time. But we've lost it. We've lost the focus. We've lost it, folks. Lord, help us today. And the one thing that we need, we don't want it. I talk to my children. You talk to your children. We have adult children here. I have adult grandchildren. And you talk to them, and they'll come over to the house, and they got this little problem, and they want to spill it out to you. Pour it out to you. But oh, they don't like grandpa's explanations. Every time there's a little something going on, you want to talk about Jesus. You want to talk about the Bible. You want to talk about God. Folks, that's the only thing that's going to help. I've been out there. I was out there for years. I experienced a lot of what's out there in the world today. And I never found anything out there to satisfy. Nothing helped. Nothing gave comfort. Nothing ministered grace to my soul. Only Jesus could do that for me, and he did. They don't want to hear it. Grandpa, you always want to talk about God. Yes. He's the answer. The little baby's crying. They don't know what they need. And now you go try to tell them what they need. They don't want to hear it. And you know what? I believe I can honestly say they're never going to be satisfied until they settle down and hear it. They're never going to be satisfied. If you don't turn to God, folks, he's the creator. He's the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And he created this earth without form and without void, the Bible said. And folks, mankind is without void and it's empty without him in it. It's empty without him in your heart and in your life. Not just in your life, but in your heart. As the brother said this morning in Sunday school, in the heart. That's where we need God today. Well, I can say this since I'm an older fella. But in the olden days, I know for a fact that people were more satisfied. It didn't take so much of this world's goods. It didn't take so many things to satisfy people. I can remember when I was a boy, my parents would take me down to their home in Somerset, where they were born, their home place, and visit some of my relatives there. They were satisfied to sit on the front porch and just sit there and visit as a family and talk to one another. They were satisfied. They didn't get up and walk around. They didn't text one another. Didn't even know anything about a cell phone at that time. But they were satisfied. They didn't have to go somewhere all the time. People have to go somewhere all the time. You know, maybe two or three times a week, I may want to go over to the store and get something from the grocery, and my wife thinks that's too much. People were satisfied. And oh, let me tell you, saints. Let me tell you, folks. People were satisfied. People felt safe. They didn't even lock their doors when they went to bed. They wasn't worried about someone breaking in on them, someone running around and needing money and stuff to buy drugs with. They wasn't worried about any of those kind of things. People were sad. They didn't need drugs to satisfy them. Well, we're a drug-laden society today. Overdosing, opioids and everything, everywhere. It's running amok, isn't it? It's contagious today. You know why? People aren't satisfied. They haven't found that unknown God. They haven't found the one that can satisfy and bring a completeness in their life. I'll tell you something else about the good old days. I don't want to get too involved in it because I kind of liked them. Everything but they didn't have air conditioning in the olden days. I'm glad that I'm born in a time of air conditioning. But anyway, back in the olden days, people seemed to be closer to God. They seemed to be closer to God. They seemed to be more spiritually minded. Not everyone had a claim to salvation and all that, but you could trust people. And it seemed like the Spirit of God was so much closer to you and I. It seems like back in those times, there was more conviction than there is today. You can go to a 10-day meeting like they're having right now. Ministers can preach their heart out. God can bless and send His Word with a Holy Ghost anointing, and still people don't feel convicted. It's hard to convict someone when they're already satisfied in what they're doing. When they're already satisfied. When they're already justifying themselves and how they're living. Back in those days, folks, it was easier for people to get saved. You know why? They didn't have so much to give up. They didn't have so much baggage back in those days. Nowadays, people found the world and they're holding on to it. And there's so much to give up. You mean I got to give that up for Jesus? Do you want to be satisfied? What's driving you? What's your greatest desire? Your greatest need? Didn't Jesus Himself say, "Peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth"? It only comes from Him, folks. Peace I give unto you, not the world, not the peace the world gives, because the world can't give you peace. Right. Then He said, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." I kind of like those cars going around, you know, you see the little yellow sign in the back one, some of them say "baby on board." I like the one that says "Jesus on board." At least they're thinking about Him. At least they're thinking about Him. Folks, that's what I want, is Jesus on board. People, now here we are. Here we are, 2017. People have rejected God so much that he's getting farther and farther away all the time. Think about it. You keep coming to my house for a visit, and I tell you to go away. I don't let you in the front door. Oh, you come back again tomorrow. And I tell you, go away. I don't want you here. How would you feel? You quit eventually, wouldn't you? You probably quit coming. People have rejected God. His spirit has been dealing with man. But he said, my spirit will not always strive with man. But people have rejected him so much today that his spirit is getting farther and farther away all the time. I noticed in the changes in my almost 70 years now, I've noticed the changes of the hearts and the minds of people. People are harder today. They're able to resist conviction. I have been in services. I've been in services over the years. And the message went forth. I've seen people stand at their seats when the songs was being sung, and they were shaking and trembling, holding on to the seat in front of them and shaking the whole bench. I've seen that. It's been years since I've seen that. It's been years since I've seen that kind of conviction. Why? Something's changed, folks. You don't see people getting saved much anymore. You don't see people desiring so much anymore. But yet those same people are not satisfied. They just want more things, more toys. My wife told me years ago the difference between the men and the boys is the price of their toys. As we get older, we just get pricier toys to try to satisfy. That don't satisfy. Folks, what we need that will satisfy us don't cost us a penny. Yet it costs us our life, doesn't it? If any man lose his life for my sake, you know what Jesus said? And the Gospels. He shall have it everlasting in eternity. Jesus paid for this satisfaction. He gave his life. Come down here, left his glory, sitting on the right hand of God himself, and came down here to be in the form of a man, to be abused by man, to be mistreated by man, to be whipped by man, and the crown of thorns put on his head and the hair plucked from his cheek, to be all those kind of things, to be degraded by man. And he came down here because he loved us so much. And he came here to bring us satisfaction to the soul. The only way you're going to get it. You can search for it anywhere you want. It's the only way you're going to get it. People getting out from under the protection, the comfort, and the influence of the Spirit of God, and getting more restless all the time. Getting more restless. If I can just throw this in here, here's how sin works. Sin is progressive. You start out with the little things, and then it grows, and it gets bigger, and you want more and more and more. I can tell you from experience, and no, I am not proud of this, but it's an experience I have that God has used from time to time to help people to understand that are out in the world. When I was out there, I was a drinker. I was a drinker. And it got to the point where I needed more and more of it just to keep my little buzz, as they called it. Just stay high. My start out with two or three bottles, but it come to the point where the bottles weren't enough. I had to go to the hard stuff. And I had to have more and more. You know what I'm saying? You have to have more and more of this world to be satisfied. And it's still unsatisfied. I still woke up the next day with a head this big. And nothing had changed except my sorrows. They were still the same, folks. I still had them. Nothing changed. Those things that I was trying to drink the blues away, as the old country western guys like to sing about, you still have them the next day. You can drink all you want. But when you get Jesus and you get a relationship with Him, folks, the next day will even be brighter than the day before.
Amen.
It'll be brighter. You'll have a better outlook on life than you ever had in your life when you get Jesus on board. The Bible even tells us in the Old Testament that people would be running to and fro, didn't he? And knowledge would be increased. Isn't that where we are? People running to and fro like caged lions. Back and forth, back and forth. You know, my brother, the Lord had to bring him down till he lost both kidneys. Finally, he gave his heart and life to the Lord. And he told me, he said, Larry, I want to give you my little testimony. He said, I just kept telling the Lord I was going to get saved one day if he'd do this. I told the Lord, if he'd do that, I'm going to get saved. And he said, you know what? He did it, and I never got saved. Now my kidneys are gone. But he said, I found out, I looked back on my life, and he said, Larry, I was just so busy. I had so many things to do. Until I realized that I was busy doing nothing. That's what people are doing today. They're busy doing nothing. What they're doing isn't accomplishing anything. It's making their sorrow greater and taking them farther and farther away from God. You know what's happened? Here's where we are today. People have compromised their conscience. We have a conscience. We all have a conscience. You know, you can describe it any way you want to. The little fellow that sits on one shoulder and tells you, you know, you really shouldn't do that. You know that, you know that's really wrong. You really shouldn't do. People have compromised that. They have overrode that so many times that their conscience have been defiled. And you know what? When you override your conscience, and you compromise the truth and understanding that you once had, you can come to the place where you will be able to handle the Word of God any way you want to. You can handle it any way you want to. Jesus told the Pharisees, "Ye are they which justify yourselves before men." I can take the Word of God right here. And I can use it. I'll find me a scripture to justify what I want to do and how I want to live. Oh yeah, people doing that today because their conscience have been defiled. Their conscience has been compromised. I think about Jesus. His first miracle. Y'all know what his first miracle was. He was at the wedding there in Cana, and they ran out of wine. And his mother was there. She went to her son, said, "Son," and let me paraphrase here, "they ran out of wine." And he said something to her, "Woman, what have I to do with thee?" And she said to the people at the wedding, you know what she said? "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." That's all she said. Whatever he says, just do it. Do it. And they did it. And it was the best of the whole lot. Whatever he says, just do it. But we struggle with that. We fight. We're like those little babies. We fight it. I had some grandbabies. One of them is 23 now, but I remember when he was a little baby. He was so tired and so sleepy, and he would fight it and fight it and fight it. So my daughter would call them No Nap Noonans, because their last name is Noonan. They just didn't want to take a nap. People just don't want to humble themselves and call upon God. And you know what? That's the only way we're going to make heaven, is to humble ourselves and call upon God. I'd like to look at another scripture. Matthew, the book of Matthew, 19th chapter. Jesus had an experience here. I want you to see how he handled it. The 19th chapter in the 18th verse. Oh, in the 16th verse. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good Master. Well, he came right to the fountainhead. He came right to the very one that brought eternal life to mankind. And so he said unto him, Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? I want to tell you something, folks. Anybody that gets the idea that it's something good they can do to get eternal life, they got the wrong idea. There isn't any good thing that I can do to guarantee my eternal life. But the wisest thing I can do is humble my heart to God, isn't it? And submit to His will. And He said unto him, Jesus said unto him, now I want you to notice, He was looking for eternal life. Don't you want eternal life? We're all going to live in eternity somewhere. But I want eternal life. I don't want eternal damnation or destruction. He said unto him, Why do you call me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. Jesus was always pointing people back to the Father. But if thou wilt enter into eternal life, keep the commandments. You know, they didn't have the New Testament book like you and I do today. So Jesus pointed him back to the law that God gave Moses and his people. He said, Keep the commandments. And he saith unto him, Which? And Jesus said, Do no murder, nor commit adultery, not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. I heard that this morning. The first commandment with promise. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, that's pretty noble, isn't it? These are the commandments that Jesus reminded him of. The young man said unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? He pressed Jesus a little farther, didn't he? Jesus just said, Keep the commandments. Well, I've kept these from my youth up. I'm a pretty good fella. That's what I imagine he was thinking. I'm a pretty good fella. Okay. That's what I need to do to inherit eternal life, is keep the commandments. I'm a pretty good fellow. But he went on and he said, What lack I yet? It almost reminds me of the fellows there on Mars Hill. They worshiped all these different gods, but there was something lacking. This young man, he kept these commandments since he was a child. But something was still lacking. Something was not satisfying him. Jesus hit it. Oh, he hit it. Hit it right on the head. The young man saith unto them, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect or complete, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He might have had great possessions, folks, but they weren't satisfying. They weren't satisfying his needs. But you notice that as we heard about Moses this morning, he wasn't willing to put everything he had into God's hands. You know, there's a lot of sad things happening in our world today. Many of them we call tragedies. But there's one tragedy that's worse than all of them. And that's a soul dying, not ready to meet God. That is truly a tragedy. He wasn't willing to give up all. Give it all. Total service. That's what he's requiring from us. Well, how can God demand that? Folks, he's our creator. Heaven is heaven because God is there. I want to be there because God is there. So sometimes things cross in my life. That's why we call it the cross. It goes against me. It goes against my grain. Sell everything you got. Well, he didn't quite say it that way, did he? Go sell that thou hast. I don't believe the Lord wanted him to be destitute. But he was, the principle was he was touching on what was really in that man's heart. Was his greed. Was his love for his treasures and the world. When he heard that saying, he went away. Let me ask a question. Doesn't everything you have really belong to him? Everything we got belongs to him. I don't have anything. Folks, when it comes, Jesus said, God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. We can't even worship him in the proper way unless we have his spirit within us. Everything we have belongs to him, and I'm going to hold it back from God. I'm not going to give it up, Lord. Folks, not only does everything I have belong to him, but he can take it away anytime he wants to. Paul said, he giveth unto everyone life and breath and all things, and I will take my next breath because he gave it to me. And he can take it whenever he chooses, whenever he will. He can take it away when he wants to. Folks, it's important. I want to be happy. But the only real happiness and the only real joy I can find is in the Lord. Happiness is not in things. I've tried all that. I've had my toys. I've had boat. I've had motor homes. I've had some other things out there that I wished I would have never went after. But they didn't satisfy. The things of this world is to be used. To be used because it's all fuel for the burning, isn't it? And yet I want to hold on to it. He went away sorrowful, and we never see where this man ever came back and talked to the master again. He had his chance. He had his opportunity. But we do see where there was a young rich man that says he got plentiful. When the harvest came in and he says, I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger barns and store all my goods and say to my soul, sit back and relax and enjoy your life. And God said, thou fool, tonight thy soul shall be required. I don't have a promise of tomorrow, folks, neither do you. We need to be satisfied in Jesus. Satisfied in the Lord. You know how some people get their satisfaction? I've told this to the congregation, to you folks, a time or two. But I think it really bears out repeating. People get their satisfaction, the bullseye. Remember the bullseye? The farmer that had this big farm and he wanted his friend to come out and he he's showing him all around his farm, and they're walking down alongside one of his barns, and there's a big bullseye painted on the side of the barn, and there was a hole, right? Dead in the middle of it. And the guy said to his friend, he says, "Wow," he says, "somebody around here's a good shot." And he started smiling, and he says, "No." He said, "What you don't know," he said, "I shot the hole in the side of the barn first. And then I drew the circle around it." That's the way people are living today. I'm going to shoot the hole first. This is what I want. This is what I think it will satisfy me. And then I'm going to justify myself by putting Jesus around it. Jesus said it was okay. I could do this. Jesus is not going to change his word for you or me. People shooting the bullseye today. Doing what they want to do and then drawing God around it so they can justify their actions and what they want to do with their life. Well, the question comes down to what you and I are allowing and doing with our own lives. I don't know about you, but you know, I remember back in my days, remember going to bed one night in particular. Obviously, the Lord was dealing with me. I had a drinking day. When I went to bed that night, wife and I laid down, I told my wife, "I know that if I die tonight in my sleep, I will go straight to hell." I knew that. I had enough understanding and teaching to know that the life I was living was wrong. And I told her that. And folks, that was a chilling thought. But you know what? Since the Lord saved me, I've never had that thought again. I've been able to lay down in my bed satisfied in Jesus. Satisfied in knowing that I've done all that I know and understand to endeavor to please Him, to endeavor to serve Him and give Him all that I have. It's His anyway. We're just borrowing it, folks. That's actually what we're doing, just borrowing it. It all really belongs to Him. Maybe we could sing number 113. May the Lord help us today. I believe that there is possible for every one of us to be satisfied. But we're going to have to do what Mary said, whatsoever He saith unto you. Just do it. Just do it. Sometimes that's a hard thing to do, isn't it? Let's sing "Satisfied" in Jesus.